Governor-elect Matt Bevin is a businessman, and maybe being a businessman is a good thing for the Kentucky Chamber, but based on your interactions with him, does the Chamber's vision align with his right now?
There are some things on which we have complete agreement, other things that I think we'll have to meet with him and talk through. In my meetings with Governor-elect Bevin, I have found a person who is very intelligent, very intense, and very passionate. He wants to get into an issue. He wants to get deep into the issue and study it, which I think is a very good thing. So I'm looking forward to working with him. He's an engaging guy and someone that's easy to listen to as he speaks. It's exciting. There are a lot of unknowns. There are a lot of unknowns about what Governor Bevin will pursue. You can't bring in your whole agenda and pursue it at the same time. You have to pick and choose and pick your priorities. So I think the main challenge for Governor Bevin now is, A, staffing up his administration in very short order, and he's got a strong transition team helping him do that. The other thing is to immediately get into the budget, because by January he'll have to produce a budget to send to the legislature. So it's really just, you have to go from 0 to 100 in a matter of weeks here as a new governor.
Do you anticipate challenges with the budgeting process? You have your feet kind of in the business world and in the legislative world, so you understand the legislative process, but coming from a governor who has no real legislative experience, what do you think he'll encounter as roadblocks?
I think one of the biggest barriers that Governor Bevin will face will be just one of mathematics. When you look at the budget session coming up, it's projected by the economists that there will be about $300 million new dollars that have been produced by economic growth, which is a good thing. $300 new dollars on top of a roughly $10 billion budget, so 3%. That's great. Well, the problem is the pension systems alone are saying we need another about $600 million additional dollars into the teachers' retirement system and the state retirement system. And that's before you get to funding education, before you get to funding your colleges and universities. So it's going to be a really tough budget time in Frankfort.
It will likely be an unpopular decision no matter what happens regarding the pension system.
That's right. We have been pushing, and I'm serving on Governor Beshear's task force to look at the teacher pension system, and our chamber has put forward a couple of scenarios. They're not proposals yet, but we've said, all right, what would a 50-50 situation look like? If 50% of the problem is to be solved by new money coming and being paid to the system, and 50% comes from looking at the benefit structure for future teachers. Now, current teachers and current teacher retirees, like my wife, for example, are protected. There's an inviolable contract, they call it. In other words, it's embedded into the Kentucky Constitution that whatever you promise somebody on their first day of employment, you can't take away from them if you change your mind 10 years later. So they're protected. They're going to get their benefits. But the question is, what is sustainable for new teachers coming into the system? Can we continue to fund this kind of a relatively rich retirement system?
So the biggest issues now facing Governor-elect Bevin in the legislature, the budget, the pension, and I believe that many Kentuckians are interested in what will happen with the Affordable Care Act in Kentucky and whether or not there will be a repealing of the expanded Medicaid option and whether that's even possible. And when we look at your pillars for your legislative priorities for the Kentucky Chamber, you discuss creating a healthy, skilled workforce. And there is a mention of a smoking ban in public places, but there is no real mention of any health care initiatives.
Right.
Could you tell me what prompted the decision there?
Well, in our expanded agenda, which is at the printer as we speak, we do have multiple positions on various health care topics. One of our health care topics, which we think is the easiest thing and would not cost Frankfort a penny to implement, and that's a statewide smoking law for public places. About 30-something percent of Kentuckians are now covered by a local ordinance, city or county ordinance. We would like to see that consistent and statewide and would help a very unhealthy state get healthier. But as it relates to the health care system in Kentucky, our chamber did favor a state exchange over a federal exchange. Our feeling back at the time that the Obama administration put this out there around the country, our feeling was we'd rather have an exchange created in Kentucky and run by Kentuckians than we would a federal exchange. So that puts us at odds to some extent with the campaign position that Governor Matt Bevin took. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that works out. And then the separate issue is the Medicaid expansion, and that is troubling because the state of Kentucky is going to have to start paying more of the share of Medicaid. And I've forgotten the exact number. It's hundreds of thousands of people in Kentucky that are on Medicaid. There are more people in Kentucky on Medicaid than there are students in our schools, our colleges, and universities put together. That's how many people are on Medicaid, and Medicaid is extremely expensive. So trying to contain that to a point where state government can afford it, that's a challenge that will face the Bevin administration.
Now, there is something I'm sure that the Bevin administration and the chamber agree on, and that is right-to-work legislation.
Right.
It appears that with the Republican-controlled Senate and now a Republican governor, that there's a little more horsepower behind that that proposed bill. Do you think it could come to fruition without it winning approval in the House?
Well, there are several ways to approach right-to-work, and our chamber has favored that for a long time. Right-to-work means that somebody can go to work for a company that has a union, but it's up to the individual as to whether or not to decide to pay dues to that union. And, of course, our friends in the union movement really dislike that. But for business people, that's a sign as to whether or not a state is very business-friendly. Some counties, starting with Warren County, Bowling Green, took it upon themselves to pass right to work on the local level, and I think about 15 to 20 counties have now done that and said, hey, we want to be competitive for a new industry. We're going to be right to work. We don't care what Frankfurt decides for the rest of the state. We want to be open for business. That is now tied up in federal court. It'll probably take several more months for that to go through to see whether or not that is even allowed. So that's being contested in court. Meanwhile, with a new governor who firmly espouses right to work legislation, as we do here in Kentucky, I mean, at the Kentucky Chamber. So with a new governor, Matt Bevin, coming in, firmly espousing right to work, the business community firmly behind right to work, it will have momentum. I think it'll get hearings in a couple of legislative sessions. Clearly, the House of Representatives is not there yet. They will probably resist that. But I think right to work is going to come to Kentucky at some point. The question is, how much political fervor will there be between now and then?
And just two more questions, and a lot to talk about if we went down your entire legislative agenda, but increased funding for early childhood education.
Right.
Tell us about what's spurring that decision to push that within your agenda.
Right. The business community generally supports investments in early childhood because the studies have shown that the return on investment is really strong. In other words, if you invest in a child and get them ready to enter into primary school, that the cost that you save down the road in terms of social problems, drug addiction, incarceration, crime, those costs are offset if a kid gets a good start and gets into a school system and can succeed in school. So we believe that for every dollar spent on the front end of an education, generally speaking, that's going to save you multiple dollars on the back end.
Well, Dave Atkinson, you're the president of the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. We'll include a link at WKMS.org to your entire legislative priorities for folks to learn more. Thanks so much for your time today.
Glad to be here. Thank you.